This podcast is brought to you by LearnMyCraft.com. Now, we've all experienced the frustration of not having enough time to practice your art. So whether you're a total beginner or an experienced artist, LearnMyCraft has got you covered. With easy-to-follow tutorials using coloured pencils and pan pastels, you can level up your animal art skills today in as little as 45 minutes. Make practice fun and easy again at LearnMyCraft.com. Welcome to the Animal Art Podcast. Today I'm joined by Kate Spratt, a very talented pet portrait artist based in Hayling Island in the UK. Kate is known for her lifelike coloured pencil drawings of horses, dogs and other animals. In this episode, we talked about transitioning from equestrian art to pet portrait commissions, our favourite tools and materials, and the challenges of finding the perfect colours and adapting techniques for different textures like fur. Plus, our tips for managing a home studio and the flexibility that comes with being a self-employed artist. As we talked, we both drew exercise number 34 from the Practice Journal Pet Portrait Edition, A Green Cat's Eye. This is all coming up on the show today, so get your materials ready. If you're drawing along, hit follow and subscribe, and let's go. Kate, hello!
Hi. We are, I'm here.
Right. Yay! Yeah, it's so nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for the request. And yeah, this should be fun. I've been watching some of your lives, and yeah, it's been lovely listening to how other artists do what they do, because we all do it quite differently, I suppose.
Yes, that's what I found very interesting, actually, about doing these live draws with other artists, is that even though we're using the same or very similar mediums, it's still a completely different like style and process and even outcome. So it's just been so fun to see that in live.
Yeah, right. I think I'm pretty much set up okay. It's one of those ones where the light, it's nice and shiny outside. It's just trying to find the, I think that's light enough. Is it light enough?
Yes, I can see. Yeah. Right. Looks good. So what are you using today?
I'm on Fabriano Artistico Hot Press. So the one that many people, I think many artists do use that one, don't they?
And yes, I've never tried that yet. So that'll be interesting.
Okay. And it's like the card one. So I've stuck it down. Uh-huh. Surprisingly cream in colour compared to the white look. But yeah, I've never really noticed that it's so cream. So I think it's 640 GSM, if I remember right.
Oh, wow, that's quite thick then.
Yeah, a very, very thick one. So
yeah,
I do use the other one a bit as well, the lighter, less weight one. But yeah, I quite like the card, just the feel of that. So
Great. And with coloured pencils?
Yeah. So the coloured pencils I use, I sort of use quite a few different brands. So the one that I started off with was obviously, well, I say obviously, I suppose it's not that obvious, the Faber-Castell Polychromos, which I think is a bit popular one for many artists that are sort of
helping
out, because it's sort of, it's good, it's cost effective, isn't it? I think
it's the most affordable high quality one, I think.
Yeah, and if I ever get contacted by sort of artists that are sort of starting out, I do tend to sort of say to them that that's the one, if you've got like a bit of a tight budget, then that's the one that you probably want to start out using.
Yeah, no, that's true. I like that too, and I've also used the Caran d'Ache ones. I just love Caran d'Ache so much.
Yeah. I've got so many actually as well. So I've got like obviously the Luminance. So the Luminance and then the Pablos. Mm-hmm. And then I started using some other ones as well called Holbein. So I think they're the Japanese one. Yeah, so I don't know if many artists have used those. Yeah, I can't remember what site I saw those on. They're quite expensive. They're like the Luminance ones.
Oh, I've never seen those before. Yeah, quite very interesting.
Quite creamy. They're a nice one, like the Luminance. Just all of them really, and then you've got the Derwent Colorsoft, and I do like to have a range of textures as well as colors. Yeah, well, I better get some drawing down. Hang on.
So you've got the outline down already, I can see.
Yeah, because it was such a small piece of paper, I've just sort of like sketched something out.
Yeah, I got mine down as well. I thought it would help me be a bit quicker today.
Well, it's harder because the camera, I don't know if I can angle, I can't really angle it any different. It's kind of right in my field of vision.
Yeah, you sort of have to look under it, don't you?
Yeah. Oh God, I've just been rushing around, and oh God, which is why I probably sound all jittery. It's a case of, out walking the dogs and back, and so it's time to settle down and get the old drawing on the go.
Yeah, some nice relaxing drawing.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing sort of this with the live with the other artists?
I guess it's been maybe just over a month, I think. Oh.
Yeah, it's a new thing then.
Yes, it's quite new, and I've really been enjoying it. It's just been so fun to chat with other artists, to learn their techniques, to just generally, I also really like the aspect of us drawing the same thing, because then it's really nice to see the differences that artists like do in terms of their process and how they use their materials, and I just really like it. And it's been nice and social because, you know, art can be quite a solitary job and experience, so
yeah. I mean, I find that it is quite, you know, working from home and things. I mean, I have two boys and they're on the holidays at the moment, and they've just gone to the barbers, so I'll be dinging the doorbell any moment, but I have said that I'm on a live, so hopefully they won't cause too much of a ruckus when they come back.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah, so please just tell me about yourself and how you got started as an animal artist.
Well, I know that I've sort of called myself an equestrian artist, the equine art, but I do predominantly more dogs and stuff, I suppose, now.
Okay.
But I started really to give myself sort of flexibility. So I worked full-time at the local sailing club, Hailing Island Sailing Club, and it was really sort of having the boys. I went on maternity leave, and then I decided that because I had a horse at the time as well, and in the sort of later stages of the pregnancy, it was just like, oh, sort of miss, sort of, you know, seeing her as much. I don't know, I just sort of thought I'll pick up the pencils. I did art at college. But it kind of like killed the joy for me, to be honest. So I sort of did that, and it wasn't to do with pencils. It was just, what was it? It was design technology and art and design. So it was quite sort of generic things, and yeah, so the history of art and all of that. But I just found that, I know this is going to sound sort of weird or bad, but it's just like I got fed up of having to draw things that they wanted us to draw. And I know that you're probably thinking, well, you do that as a job now, but it's
different.
It is because I'm drawing subjects that I enjoy drawing. I like the medium, and with it, before at college, it would be like the task of you know, I know it's important to look at like shapes and, you know, tones and depth and all the rest of it, but I don't know, I just, maybe it was just that time of my life as well, I just thought I don't really fancy doing it. So yeah, I left that, and then I went and didn't pursue art as a job until, yeah, sort of having the boys really. And then I just like the freedom and the flexibility, and also obviously being able to draw things that I enjoy drawing, as in horses to start off with, and then and then the dogs, that's been sort of a nice sort of transition going into doing other art like that with them. Yeah, I've drawn quite a few weird things over the years, actually, guinea pigs and
dogs. Wait, I haven't been commissioned to do a guinea pig yet. That would be fun. Yeah. Have you done a rabbit?
I have done a rabbit, yeah. What else did I do? I did the weirdest one, I think, that I had was a lady from Dubai who wanted me to draw her son's teddy. And I thought it might... Yeah, Well, I'm always a bit sort of like skeptical about, like, you know, I don't know if you got this, but like with the NFTs and stuff, you get people contacting you and
You're never sure if it's actually a legit contact or not sometimes.
So it seems so, I mean, this is going back quite a few years, it seems so random, and I just thought, really? So I sort of thought, okay, I sort of went along with it for a bit.
Yeah.
And then it was, yeah, so she sent over the reference photos and...
Oh, that's and, a really lovely idea.
Yeah, so it was quite sweet. It was quite a sort of duffed up little teddy. So I think that it was obviously to preserve it and, I don't know, I suppose quite a nice... Quite a nice thing to do.
I actually did something similar for my sister for her birthday. I painted her toy elephant that she loves and has had all her whole life. She really loved that. She just has that hanging on her wall. So I think it's just the sentimental, I think, sometimes as a pet, because you've had something that long and, you know, cared for it and taken it everywhere. You know, it's not alive, but it still means a lot.
Well, I think as well, coming from you, that would have been even more special, because then, you know, it's something that, it's a subject that, you know, the kid loved and that, you know, you got to as well. So there's sort of like that connection.
Yeah. No, she really loved it. She has it in her wall in her house. So it's nice to be able to do that for people, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. It is nice to surprise people sometimes with that sort of personal touch. Yeah.
So how comes you've chosen this particular drawing today? Well, I guess we both sort of decided on this eye, didn't we? Trying to pick one that hasn't been done yet.
I quite like the colours, to be honest. That was the thing. I mean, I don't know if I'm really... getting there quite yet with the colors. It takes me a little while to just get to grips with the palette that I want to use. So I see that usually I do one block and then I try and stick to doing one block. I think that I was listening to you talking to another artist the other day about basically being able to do reference the update photos. So it's sort of easier for a client to be able to sort of see how their portrait's getting on.
Yes. Definitely. If you're completing a block at a time, it makes it easier visually to see how it's coming along, doesn't it?
Yeah. Whereas how I'm working now isn't really how I'd normally work for a commission, I suppose, because I know that I've only got an hour. I know that I'm not expected to necessarily finish what I'm drawing.
No.
It's nicer to sort of see a bit more. So I think I am doing a bit more of a, not a slapdash, but, you know, just get those colors down and then
I think having the time limit does sort of like loosen up your style a bit, I think.
Yeah,
and gives you like a bit of that perspective of, okay, so what are the important elements to include to make it look as much like the reference picture as possible but without drawing every single detail. I quite like that aspect of thinking about it.
It takes me ages as well to find the right colours that I want as well. Part of the problem, it's sort of like I start thinking, oh, I really could do with using that particular pencil at the moment, and it's like, oh god, I sort of have them in boxes, so
yeah,
I can show you. So I don't know if you're going to be able to know.
Oh yes.
So like just boxes, and obviously
just surrounded by them.
And I think that it's almost like a case of there's just too many to choose from now. I think, oh god. So then when I'm working on a commission where it's obviously like taking me days, as the day goes on and the hours, I get to sort of really sort of like hone into the palette that I actually want and I'm using. So
yes,
it's
much
easier. And then I'm only really sort of like, I did do some prep work and I did think, right, pretty much, what colors do I need for this? But as I'm sure you know, when you start really getting into it and looking at it, you think, ah, that color's there.
So yeah, you just change your mind. I always find that every time I prep my colors, I never use those colors.
Yeah, I think that you're quite good as well, from what I've seen with your lives and things before, and obviously looking at your beautiful work that you do on Instagram. You are quite free with your colors, and I love that. I love it when
thank you.
I think, were you, who was the lady, I think that she's Australian. You were doing one with her, and she was saying about how she draws the blue dogs, and people are like, why are you drawing a blue dog?
But, yes, Caitlin yesterday, Caitlin Grace.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
amazing. Yeah.
I gave her a follow. So that was the other good thing about you doing this. It's like, oh, yeah, you sort of find through the woodwork, yes. You sort of find other artists.
But, finding new artists to be inspired by and follow, definitely.
Yeah. But I love that. God, you are well away. Look at you with the old. So you're using pan pastels.
Yes, pan pastels. That's why I really like them, because it definitely speeds it up.
Oh, phenomenal.
It just, yeah. I just use it to block in all of my colours, and then I use the colour pencils over the top to then start like adding the layers and then the details, and then it just gets you sort of ahead a bit quicker, I'd say.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've never really got on with I've never really tried them, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Have I? No, not really. I've tried like the Pitt pencils.
Yes, I don't like those.
No, I don't really get on with them, and then they're obviously not, I'm gonna start cracking on. They're obviously not as fast as laying down like a pen,
because they're pencils again.
I'm gonna start working. This is the other thing sometimes I do, like I say, I sort of work from left to right, so maybe I'll
Yeah, that's interesting. I honestly used to do that as well. I used to work left to right, or like, you know, section by section. And I think as the years have passed, my style has just developed, especially as I've had to be quicker and just like get it done kind of thing. I can't just, you know, always make it pretty, if you get what I mean. Like, I'd rather the final one be the best it can be in the given time that I have, and just be able to complete it like that, rather than thinking about, because I used to think all the time about Instagram posts. So I'm completing each stage for the post and for showing it to the client. You know, if they're asking for it, but now I just try and get it done.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I think I like when you see people do like the time lapses, and you're almost like, oh man, that looks a bit sort of ropey, and then all of a sudden it's like magic. It just,
yeah,
with eyes, I find that like all of a sudden, like you were doing one with a lady the other day, and I mean, it looked lovely, but all of a sudden it just popped, and it's just like, ah, look, there you go. And I think that a lot of artists have that, where sometimes it can be a bit like, oh, sort of like deflating, like this isn't going anywhere, this looks rubbish. And then there's that horrible sort of part starting a portrait where you think, oh, is this working? I very rarely sort of start again. I can't even remember sort of how many. I don't think I have really ever started again. I just push through. And I think you've just got to have that faith that.
Well, that's good. I've started again a few times.
I'm sure I have once. I mean, I must have done at least once. But I mean, I've seen some artists, and it's, bless them, it's been horrific that they've like ripped the paper, or they've done something, and it's just like, oh, that must be soul destroying. Sometimes I do find that the tooth of the paper just doesn't seem to lend itself. I think there was this thing a while ago that quite a few of the artists who use the Fabriano Artistico, this is so the one that I'm sort of using.
Okay.
Even the company said that they changed their manufacturing. So a lot of artists, and it's funny because I sort of just started using it at the point that this was all kicking off. And I was hearing sort of reports from established artists who used it a lot, saying, oh, it's not the same. And I was thinking, oh, God, so if I order some, am I getting the old stuff, or am I getting the new stuff? Because I had no reference to if I knew which one was which. But there's another artist as well who, he does fantastic pastels, Paul Miller. I don't know if you've...
Yes, I do.
He does a lot of like reptiles and stuff, and I remember him sort of saying that sometimes you just get patches of the paper that sort of almost have a, like a, I find with this one sometimes they have like an actual line going through the paper, and that's really
that's a shame.
Yeah, it's like a sort of manufacturing, I don't know if it's like a defect or something, but it's a bit like,
sounds like it is,
yeah, and you can't really even notice it until you're actually quite far through a portrait. So I mean, obviously things like that I wouldn't allow to go out, but usually I just have a good older sort of inspect of the paper. And I think that like the heavier one doesn't tend to have that line issue so much, but mm-hmm. I suppose where it's sort of like a natural product that you're always going to have sort of variations and sort of discrepancies. Yeah. So
I guess that's also the thing about commissioning art, isn't it? Because it's a hand-drawn thing, a handmade thing. I don't think customers expect it. Like, they wouldn't necessarily notice a tiny bit of paper line that won't colour over or something like that, because they're seeing it as a whole and as the finished piece that someone's handmade for them. They're not seeing, I guess, the faults with the paper or, you know, any other mistakes or little things that you may have accidentally done, because they're seeing it more from their point of view as this beautiful handmade thing that you've spent days doing.
I mean, I think as well, if you're buying a print, then you expect it to be top quality and there are no sort of smudges and stuff. But I do think if you're buying an original, then it is like what you're saying, basically. It's like that is part of the process of that.
I think it's quite nice. There's a bit of a fingerprint.
So you sort of try not to, you know, try and make sure that there's not sort of like massive grubby prints everywhere.
Yes, but, of course.
You know, like if it's not, if it has got a slight imperfection in terms of, you know, you sort of try to rub marks off the edges. This is where I try and work sort of like left to right, because then there's less sort of way of me causing actual proper sort of damage or, you know, noticeable smudges. But I do sort of sometimes think, oh god, that smudge isn't coming out, but then I think we'll sod it, because that's what you're paying for. The blood, sweat and tears.
It's the authenticity of it, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's like the old signature. It's sort of that was part of the process.
No, definitely, I agree.
All right, I don't know how much longer have we got left. I know I was a bit late and I'm sorry, so that was my fault.
Let's say another 40 minutes.
Oh, we've still got another 40 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Oh sweet. Oh, I'll be all right then. I was just thinking.
No, you're doing really well.
Are you?
Tell me about your process. Do you like block in some colour, or do you first go in with like actually drawing in the hairs for each colour?
Block in a bit here and there, and then I do quite a few layers. I think that I sometimes run the risk of like shutting off the tooth of the paper sometimes with the amount of layers that I do end up putting in. I know that some people use the slice tool for sort of areas like this.
Have you used it?
I have got one. Where's my one? I use the thinner one. Can you see that one?
Oh yes, I saw that yesterday. So I need to try it.
I love watching now I can't remember her surname. Colgate. So Lucy Draws, you know who I'm talking about, I would imagine.
Yes.
Do you know Lucy Draws? Yeah,
yes I do.
She does amazing things with the slice tool, but she I think it's, would it be the Bristol board? Am I wrong in saying that?
I think she uses Strathmore, but I can't remember.
Yeah, really smooth paper. And I've tried that technique before. But I think you've really got to sort of like trust your sort of your process of doing that, because you're laying down a lot of like colours, and then it's just whether or not that slice tool is going to be able to cut through, because you're sort of working a bit sort of backwards, I find, in terms of the sort of light and dark. But I mean, what she does is incredible. So, yeah, that's the thing. It's just really interesting just seeing how different people work. But, this is the first live I've done. So I don't know. I think that I'm probably better off just...
There's no pressure at all. Like, you don't even have to draw if you don't want to. It's just like a fun chat. So,
it's funny. I find it is quite sort of like... not private, but like quite sort of like personal thing to sort of sit down and draw. I know that some artists do like workshops and stuff, and I don't know, I sort of, hats off to them. I don't know if I'd really, but then again, I do like there was a girl at the local college that did a little project on me, and I went in and spoke to her about art and, you know, getting into all of that, and I loved it. I do love talking about it, but yeah, it's one of those things with how much you sort of share and how much you want to rabbit on.
No, I do know what you mean, because specifically you know, when reels started coming about and you had to record what you're drawing, it's very different than just taking a progress picture. And I think I really struggled with that transition, because it felt like when you've got that camera recording you, it's almost like someone is watching you. So you definitely feel less relaxed.
I think that my hands are shaking now. Well, so I think some artists love it, because I've heard them say, oh, it's like the accountability. So obviously, like, you're not going to be sort of going making cups of tea and you're going to sit down and you're actually going to do the work.
It's really fun. It's fun to make a cup of tea and watch your program. And, like, it's meant to be the enjoyable experience rather than, no, you have to sit there and draw this until it's finished.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because sometimes I think, okay, right, I'm going to make sure that I do this amount of time and try and reach that point. But it's hard, because I will work sort of any time that I sort of, you know, there'll be some times that I actually like working later at night, and I'll really get into it, and then I think, oh god, I'm going to pay for this tomorrow, because
I've I think that all the time. All the time.
And then you just think, is this like false economy? Am I sort of staying up, like, your day tomorrow is not going to be that productive, but then at the time I'm thinking, wow, I'm going like great guns and this is feeling great. And I think that it really is a sort of thing of, you've got to feel it.
I think sometimes you have to risk it. Risk the next morning if you're having a good time.
I do. I know, it's terrible. I do. I just think, but then, oh god, and I just have to tell myself, yep, tomorrow's going to be a write-off. You know that you're not going to be feeling it, but you're blasting it out now, and you're enjoying it and you're loving it. I think that's the luxury, really, of sort of working sort of from home and sort of, you know, almost being your own boss. It's got its pros and cons for sure.
Yes, definitely.
But yeah, I love, basically that's how I came about doing art like this, because it was just freedom with the kids. So I think, like, working for yourself is always a good thing in life if you can. Obviously everybody's different. But I don't know, it's just, you know, you get what you put into it.
And, definitely, well, because it's a business, isn't it? Like, it stops working if you stop. So
And then it's, if you can sort of get the right sort of work sort of balance with it all, then you've got the freedom. It's, you know, I do recommend.
I'm interested to know how you started getting commissions in the first place. Like, how did you advertise, or was it through family and friends first, like a lot of people start out at?
It was pretty much the typical thing that every other commission artist sort of had. It was, I remember one of my friends in particular, she wanted me to draw her horse. I think because I've always been sort of arty, and I can't even really remember what the reason was why. And so I drew her horse, and I mean, it was just literally with graphite pencil, and I didn't know.
Lovely.
Yeah, this was sort of like 14, 15 years ago. And I think that colour pencils have come on leaps and bounds, really, in terms of other artists that you can follow, and even the materials. Because I remember when I started out, like, doing more like the colour pencils, I was just going to like WH Smith and getting like just normal colour pencils,
because same.
There was no one else online to follow. It definitely, I'm sure that it wasn't that I wasn't looking in the right places to find other artists. I'm sure that it's come on so much now with other art, which is fantastic, because I love watching other artists doing their thing. But basically the reason why I stuck to pencils is because I knew that they were easy to put down and pick up. I didn't have to worry about toxic fumes with the babies around, and, you know, if they went down for a nap and then they woke up and I needed to be with them straight away, then I didn't have a wet painting that I had to sort of deal with. So I could just literally just, you know, pack them away easy. So really it was only by default for that sole reason that I got into
That's very interesting.
And people people sort of say about how slow it is, and I get that it's a slow medium. Sometimes I do like to sort of experiment with other things, other mediums.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Pastels have never really... I find it hard. I think I need to go back to pastels. I think I've done some and like I think, oh yeah, that's good. And then like say I've watched people like Paul Miller and it's like, oh my god, like I don't care.
He does incredible work.
Yeah. And then, and I know it's about like layering and sort of, I just can't seem to get the accuracy. I don't know if I'm sharpening them with the wrong thing or they don't seem to just, and I use the Clairefontaine, so it's definitely user error. It's not like I can blame it on the materials. And I just think this isn't working, and I've tried persevering. Like Bethany Veer. Bethany?
Yes.
Yeah.
Veer.
Yeah, I mean, she's sort of fairly local to me, and mm-hmm. yeah, she's amazing, and I know that she sort of says the same thing, I think, with experimenting with other mediums and things, and she always seems to do a fantastic job, I think, with the pastels. So I'm like, oh god, like, but then I think it's just like your comfort zone. It's like she obviously, like me, like she always sort of comes back to the color pencils, so sometimes yes. I'll sort of, you know, I'll go out and do other things like some painting, and I do other drawings that I don't put on Instagram, so because I don't really like to sort of mix it up really. And then I did try like another page for a short time, but then I was like, I just haven't got the time or the income. I don't really want to be juggling. I think an artist who's done really well doing that is again, I'm so bad with names, I think it's, is it Hannah Lipsey?
She does the shiny things,
and she was an animal artist, and she's done fantastic. And
I think
hats off to her, because she's put in so much effort, like time and effort, to do that transition.
Something different as well. Yeah, I really like the shiny metal.
Yeah.
Artwork. It's very cool. It's like an illusion, isn't it? Very good trick of the eye.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So I've done stuff like that on and off a few years ago, and there's so many projects that I want to do outside of the straight up commissions, but then it's always that one of like, oh, I'm so busy with the commissions, and I find it hard to just sort of like really save time for myself and the things that I want to do, but then I know that I'm going to regret it one day, and there's so many pieces that I want to finish and I haven't, and I can only blame myself.
It's just that thing, isn't it, because somebody's paid for an artwork, so you do feel, you know, a bit guilty if you don't then work on that artwork, isn't it?
This is why
I've been loving doing these books, because they don't take that long. It is just an hour. I get to try out animals and things that I've literally never been commissioned to do before. And it's just been so much more fun experience than trying to like finish an entire piece.
Yeah,
and it's just made it's made practice just really fun again, I think, because I was finding it quite stressful, feeling like that whole cycle of, oh, I don't have time to do my own art, but I really want to do my own art, but then again I don't have time to do my own art. But this sort of solves that problem, even though I'm not creating big finished pieces, they're little finished pieces, so it gives me that satisfaction of creating something for myself, practicing something new, and it hasn't taken me too much time away from my commissions. So I do feel like this is strict, especially for me, it's strike to the right balance, I think.
Yeah, and I love that you're doing it and you're getting other people into it. I think that's the thing as well. It's all a win-win-win, really. I mean, you're getting to talk to other artists. I mean, I'd never sort of do anything like this off of my own back. You know, I don't mind like talking to people, but I just don't really have the gumption to sort of be like putting myself out there. I very rarely talk. I never talk on my Instagram. I never really show my face, and I don't know why. I mean, I am a private person.
This is the thing. You don't have to if you don't want to.
I think
you can do it in other ways. Yeah,
like. sort of you asking sort of how I got into it as well. So one of my neighbours at the time that sort of like when it was around the same time as my friend asking me to do the horse for her, she was like, just go on Facebook and just put some of your, I wasn't even on Facebook, like even sort of like socially. She was like, go on Facebook and just pop some of your work on there. And I'm not the sort of person that likes to shout about myself. I'm quite, as much as I love talking, you know, I don't mind talking to people. I'm very, very not the, hey, look at me, everybody. And that doesn't go well with being a self-promoting artist, which I've got better over the years. But I'm just fortunate, I think. I've been doing it now for about, I guess, you know what, I always say 14 years. And in reality, it's probably more like sort of 15, 16. And I think that I've just lucky that I've just got a good following on Facebook and Instagram. And I think that I just sort of keep on going. I have a lot of sort of repeat custom. And I just think I'm lucky in a way. I do obviously put the work in. But the thing is like I say, I was sort of, I suppose I was kind of doing it way back when it wasn't flooded. Like now, I'm not going to say the word competition because that's not how I see it. Because I think that if somebody wants a piece of art, they have an artist that they have in mind. So it's not, I never see other artists and think, oh God, like, you know, the competition.
I know what you mean.
There's just so much out there now. So I don't know. I don't know if it's just I've been going long enough that I was just at the right time, perhaps. I don't know.
Do you get most of your commissions through Facebook then?
I think Instagram. I operate most of my stuff from Instagram. So I would do it so that it posts over to Facebook. So I'm on TikTok, but I don't go on it. I literally just go on it to just pop my post. So I post on Instagram, then that automatically posts it to Facebook, and then I sort of have to remember to go over there. I know it sounds bad because I love my followers over on Facebook. Like that, I have like diehard loyal followers, bless them, and like every post that I put on, they say such kind things. I've been so lucky with my sort of artistic journey that I've had some really lovely people and met lots of lovely people, clients and everything. So I sort of go over there and sort of say thank you. And I always comment back to people who leave comments. But I'm not really over on Facebook. I do it all from Instagram. So my business, usually the work that comes in is from Instagram and then just via email. So I don't really ask people how they found my work. Do you ever do that? I know that's kind of a business strategy, just so you know where you're.
But I don't normally, if they message me through my website, they sometimes say they're like, oh, I've been following you for years on Facebook and now I'm finally ready to commission. And so they do say sometimes, I think.
I suppose, I mean, it's a good sort of strategy to have, but then I sort of think, well, where I don't advertise, I don't really need to know the sort of feedback, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure that I could do a lot of things better with like the business side. I'm trying to sort of update my website and things at the moment, and I've just done a packaging rebrand, and you know, I'm sort of trying to slowly chip away at these things. But it's just all just trying to push forward. Can you hear that noise? Did that noise just come up? I've just had a notification on my phone and I wasn't sure what would actually...
No, I didn't hear it.
Right, I'm so behind the times when it comes to technology. That was a notification that the kids are on their way back from the barbers, but they'll be fine. They won't cause a ruckus. I did say, oh God, I really need to push on with this eye, don't I? Been getting into the
How's
hair.
It going?
Yeah, I haven't looked up yet. Where are you? Oh God. Yeah, I want snow. Oh, I'm sort of getting there. Okay, yeah, I'm getting there.
Yeah, you this are. Is what I'm saying. I love this details you're getting in with those hairs around the eyeball.
Yeah, it's
really nice and defined.
Yeah, I find, well, it's the polychromos, isn't it? They're so good, aren't they, with, like that definition. But yeah, not that I'm having excuses, but like having your head not over your portrait, it really does. I'm glad that I did the sketch to start off with. Even now that I'm adding sort of like the black bit,
yeah,
I'm still thinking, God, I can't actually really see it straight on. Like,
I always work at an angle, so it's very weird for me to work so flat.
Yeah. Oh, right. What, you mean you have a board?
Usually use a board, and like my whole desk is a drawing board, so it reclines and goes down and up and stuff. So I usually use that to do my commissions, because then I guess then it's parallel to your face and you don't have to lean over as much and get that pump back.
Yeah, I don't find that I have too many problems, like issues with my back and things like that, because I know that some artists sort of say...
All the time. My back is a big issue if I'm leaning too far. Oh. Yeah. I think it's also because of, you know, carrying a child around all the time as well. It's...
Oh, yeah. So you've got the one, have you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, humping them around, geez. They're like little things to... And then when they like to do the old wriggling, that's always the fun thing when you're trying to get them in the old car seats and stuff.
I think I need to strengthen my core, lots of core strengthening.
Yeah, I think that's always the one, isn't it? Core.
So tell me about your studio space. Do you have your own little studio, or are you like in the spare bedroom or something?
Yeah, it's just in the house. It just makes more sense because obviously when the kids are, you know, they're 12 and 14, so they're pretty much sort of like they get up to their own devices and stuff. They're fine. Mm-hmm. But I prefer that I'm in the house.
Yeah.
So, you know, then I'm just on call. And then obviously like packages and stuff, it just makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea. I was, I applied for a studio in, so I'm hailing Ireland, and I applied for a studio space over in South Sea, so Portsmouth, so just sort of like across the way. But they changed the criteria of the people who applied, and they said in the end, because it was sort of it was kind of like subsidized by the Portsmouth Council, and then they said that the applicants had to be from Portsmouth, so they sort of changed the application process whilst I was in the application process.
Oh, that's a bit nice.
Yeah, but the thing is I didn't know if I actually did want to do it, and I thought, well, I wouldn't mess them about, but I thought, well, I'll give it a go. I think I've done some sort of like little shows and markets and stuff before, and I do really enjoy talking to people. I have a lot of time for talking to people that are interested, and you know, like doing this live.
Yeah.
I enjoy doing this. As much as I say that I don't put myself out there sort of willingly, I'm more than happy doing stuff like this. So
yeah, you're very easy to talk to, so I imagine we could literally talk for hours.
Once I get going.
Yeah,
so that's the thing, I don't mind, like I love talking to people, so I did think that would have been a nice thing to do. But then I looked at the pros and the cons, and I thought so I sort of ended up feeling like I dodged a bullet with that, and I just thought, like, as much as like my, you know, my work is important to me, I love the fact that it's just freedom in terms of I can just, like, we just I took the boys on a camping trip last weekend, and you know, just sort of like I can do that. I can just spare the moment, like, I'm not tired, I haven't got opening hours.
Exactly.
Whereas if I'd have been over there, it would have been like opening hours. And yeah, I do live the life of Riley. I mean, I live on an island, and like there are times when the tides are right and the local sandbank is perfect, and like sometimes like it aligns that the weather's perfect, the tides are perfect, and I'm just like, sod it.
You have to make the most of it. Honestly what I've been doing, because the English summer is just so terrible that when it's sunny, you just gotta go. You gotta go and enjoy it, because it will be like once.
It will, and I know that I'm so lucky to be able to do that I'm not tired and I haven't got like shift work and things to sort of get to. I put in the hours, you know, there'll be times sometimes that I'm working sort of late into the evening, like I say, if I feel sort of like mood, and I, you know, so I do put in the hours. But that luxury of being able to just be like, right, you know, I get the dogs and go down the sandbank, and I just think I am so blessed to be able to do this. I do not sort of take it for granted at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why. So that was the long answer to what's the studio space. Yes, I do work from home.
Yeah.
But it's just because it just is a no-brainer for me that, like, you know, the boys being the age they are. Yeah, I think I missed the chatting. So like I say, when I've done markets and stuff before, I've really enjoyed talking to people. I just love talking to people. Like my horse used to be kept at a holiday camp. So
okay.
I don't know if you've heard of, like, Warners. So she was the Warner group. So they do sort of camps. They're not it's not a campsite, actually. I don't know why I call it that. It's a hotel. So yeah, beautiful location. And anyway, it was an adult only hotel, and they would walk down to the stables. The stables would be separate from the camp, as in we had nothing to do with the hotel, but you'd have the generation who were into horses basically come down, and it'd be like, you know, old boys, and they'd reminisce about their connections with horses, and I just loved that. And there'd be times sometimes where I'd be in the car park trying to leave and then I'd just stand there talking, because the thing is I knew that it meant a lot to the people talking to me, reminiscing about their days of, you know, the connections, and, you know, I sort of know the history of hailing, so it always come back to horses and war.
Because
we've got all of the history, and so that's one of the things I think that I'd like if I had a studio. That was a very long-winded answer, wasn't it?
No, it's very interesting. Yeah, no, I feel exactly the same, because I could get a place as well, but then I work mostly at night once my daughter's asleep, so it doesn't make any sense to have anywhere that's not at home.
That's the thing. So I think that you, as a sort of a professional artist, you think, oh, really, I should have a studio, and it's just like, well, is it, should I, or is it like actually tying myself up?
I just wouldn't be there.
I don't feel the need. I just know it sort of seems a bit like, oh yeah, I work from a spare room in my house, but it's a lovely area, you know. It doesn't have to be called just a spare room in a house. It is
your studio.
It is, and I thought, well, I could sort of separate it and have like one of these things that you have in the garden, like the old sort of makeshift office.
But
the thing is,
like, summer house vibe.
Yeah, but then in the winter I've got a lovely log burner, and I just think, would I really want to be
that would be cold
to the bottom of the garden and no log burner, and then, like, you know, the dogs and stuff. I just think, what's the point of disconnecting myself from the house just to maybe make myself feel like it's more of a professional setup? So
I feel like I'd worry about the paper as well, like getting damp. Wouldn't that be terrible if your commission got damp halfway through doing it because it was outside? That'd be terrible.
We're doing it the wrong way. Just be in the house.
Be as close to the family as you can. Close to the kitchen. Close to the bathroom.
Close to the kitchen.
Yeah. That's what we need.
Yeah. No, I do feel very, very fortunate to do what we do. Yeah. How did you get into? Do you get people asking you many questions then? Because I feel like I've rabbited in on a lot. So how did you get into it? Or have you sort of
similar to you?
Have you sort of said this a lot, so you sort of feel like you don't really want to keep going over it? But I'm sure that many people.
It's honestly fine. I don't mind talking to you about it, or anyone's listening. It's the same as you, really. Like, I was in between things. So I originally did aerospace engineering, and I worked for NASA for a bit, and then I was in between waiting for my PhD and just finishing doing another master's. So I didn't have any money coming in. We didn't have a job. We were just sort of like waiting for my PhD to start. And my friend at the time, she was like, you know, I'll pay you to draw my cat. And I was like, oh, yes, money. You know, thank you so much. It's very helpful. You know, like, I really didn't care like how much you'd pay me. Like, I just really need the money at the time. So she paid me 50 quid to draw her cat, which unfortunately passed away. So I did that for her, and I'd never been paid for my artwork before. So it was so like daunting, like, you know, I finished, can I have the money now kind of thing. Like, you know, it's such an awkward situation and it's your first ever situation. But you know, she was really lovely, and she just gave me the money, and she's like, thank you so much. And she like cried over how nice the portrait was. And it was just a lovely, I guess, experience, and to be able to do that for her. And
it's a funny feeling, isn't it?
Like,
the first time you actually sort of, I think the first sort of bits of art that I sold weren't actually portraits. I remember I don't know what ones have I had some artworks in galleries, they were paintings. And then I remember once being down in Plymouth, I was down there with my student friend, and I just sort of did this, I think I was just waiting for them to finish a lecture or something. I was just in this pub/bar thing, and the owner sort of said, oh, I like your drawing, can I buy it from you? And I was like, okay. So he gave me like 40 quid, and I went and got
a crate
of beers for my student friends, and I just went back to the house, and I was like, oh, I just had some person buy this thing off me. But it is I felt lucky, because it's just like, it's nice that people sort of like recognize these things. And I was just, it was only like a tiny little sketch. I think it was of a horse. I don't even know what the guy did with it in the end, but it's funny. I don't know. But that was many years before I even thought about doing selling art. I don't know. It's a weird industry, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Same actually, because when I just finished my first degree, and again, I was in between waiting for my grad job to start. I was just living back with my mom, and I didn't have a job or any money. So I started like a little blackboard business. So I was going around all the restaurants drawing their blackboards. Thing I used to do.
Funny what you can like lend yourself to. I remember when I worked at the sailing club, so HISC, I sort of started doing kind of like boards like that, and it's funny how people can sort of really sort of spark your they can sort of almost sort of shape your future a bit. It sort of plants the seed. It's like, actually, so yeah, doing those boards, I bet you probably sort of got to go around to different places, and
it was very interesting. I guess that's the first time I ever did commissions, really, then, isn't it? Because you go to the restaurant, you say, you know, what do you need done? And they're like, oh, I need this sort of like, it was a huge one I did once. It was like the big menu, and they wanted like all of like, you know, a picture of a sandwich and stuff all over it, and that kind of thing. So fun.
Yeah, so chalkboards, you get like pens that you can.
Yes, chalk pens. That's what I was using.
Right. But then I suppose you're probably quite limited for colours, aren't you?
Yeah.
Or do you get quite a few colours?
So it's very, it's sort of like cartoony, illustration-y vibe. It's not like realistic.
No, but then you've got to be quite sort of creative with how you can actually sort of, I suppose, use those pens to actually sort of get colours that you might want to get.
Yeah.
So I remember doing some of those, and you only had like almost like the primary colours.
And you can't really mix it because it's chalk pens.
Yeah, they dry.
They're not really mixable. That's very interesting. Sparking my memory.
Only when you look back and you think, oh yeah, because I almost forgot about selling that piece in that Plymouth pub. I was just like, oh
yeah, it's just funny how you, for so long in school, you're told, you know, that's just a hobby, art's just a fun thing to do. If you know, the only thing you can really do is become an art teacher. So, you know, what do you actually want to do with the rest of your life? Which is why I chose engineering, because I was like, okay, well, I'll be an engineer now. And then when I retire, I'll be an artist. That was literally always my plan, to literally wait till I was 60 years old before I was an artist. And I thought, well, that's a good plan.
But then, you know, I suppose I thought, sold that.
Yeah, exactly. And, 30 years early, my retirement.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, but no, it also wasn't necessarily possible, I think, as easy as it is now anyway, because there was no social media at the time.
I mean,
and I think it has changed the landscape completely, especially COVID. Like, there's so many artists now who I've been speaking to who have said that they started drawing again during COVID because they finally had the time to.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and now they've left their jobs and become full-time artists. And I think without that whole lockdown situation happening, how many less artists would we have right now?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it, how some things that happen like that sort of shape
it's very interesting how people get started and how you're sort of like, how your journey, you know, it keeps telling you you need to be an artist, but you don't really discover it till like 20 years later. You're like, oh yeah, I should have been an artist.
Yeah, but then I suppose things always happen sort of like at the right time for a reason and things. But yeah, I mean, I always remember there was only really sort of like a few. Because I remember getting, like, the Horse and Hound and stuff. It's funny, my art teacher, when I was at school, she was into horses. And she, you'd always find, like, Horse and Hound magazines, like, laying about and stuff in the art room. And I remember in the back, when you used to have businesses that would put their adverts up. And that would be the place, if you were a portrait artist, to advertise. And, I mean...
And yeah, they cost, like £400 for an advert like that.
But then I suppose it's not sort of as much diluted because, well, I suppose it's not really it's weird. I don't know. I just love how
it's very high quality targeting, isn't it, to have an advert in a magazine, because the people buying the magazine are already spending the money for that interest. So they're obviously going to be interested in getting it anyway.
I just love how accessible, like, I think that I grew up in the best generation. I'm 42 and I had the innocence and the freedom of not having the internet, and I was allowed to sort of just be a normal kid. And then at the point where, I mean, I suppose, like, the internet only really came about kind of like when I was like leaving school, really. It's just incredible when you look back how much it just all of a sudden just rocketed, everything just changed, and it was right at the point of my life where it made a difference. Really opened up doors.
Definitely. Oh, your eye is looking so good. I'm loving all these textures that you're doing in the eyeball.
I think that's the thing, like I said at the beginning, I probably spend way too much time, like, just like I spend too long on pieces, I think. But then I just think, sod it, I enjoy it. But I could just go on and on and on. So I think, where are we now? Oh yeah, so now I'm looking at the screen. Oh yeah, that's my one. Oh, there we go. It does look not too bad.
No, it looks brilliant. I love it so much.
I don't know how long I'd spend doing this.
I'm
actually surprised how far I've got.
Yeah, it's surprising, isn't it, how much you can get done in an hour, because we're almost out of time now, but you look almost finished.
The eye needs a lot more. I mean, it all needs a lot more, but at least I'm glad that I sort of worked my way around that you can sort of tell what it is.
It's like getting all the basics in, isn't it, the right colors and enough detail to see what it is.
I think it's not too shabby now. At first I was like, oh my god, I can't really see what I'm doing, and yeah, I think that I haven't disgraced myself. I think that that's fine.
No, I love it so much. Well, you have to send me a picture once this call is over.
Yeah,
I would love to see it and share it.
I'll do some tweaking without the camera in the way, and then I'll send over what it looks like.
Yes, please. Please do. I can't wait. Thank you so much for everybody who's joined us today. And please give Kate a follow if you haven't already. And for this practice journal, books and video tutorials, you can head over to learnmycraft.com, where you can watch this episode and many others. So thank you so much, Kate. It's been a real pleasure.
No, thank you. So thank you very much for the invite, and I love doing that. And I'll send over
wonderful
how far I get.
Yes,
Please. Thank you so much, Kate. Have a lovely day.
Yeah, you too. Bye. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.